Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. We'll read all six verses together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you, as our preacher reminded us in Sunday school, we got to learn a little bit more about how great you are, how wonderful you are. And yet, we still stand before you in need. Lord, we're sinners. Because we're sinners, we need an awful lot. God, I pray that you'd be with our preacher. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we listen intently so that we can get from heaven what we need today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The passage of Scripture from which the sermon will come today may be the most popular passage among people, the 23rd Psalm. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I love those last few words, "I shall not want." What does that mean, "I shall not want"? Before we go into the actual preaching of the sermon, I've asked Brother Nash to come and teach us a song. Many of you will already know the song, but we're going to sing a little chorus that's been written in regard to the 23rd Psalm. Brother Nash, you come and lead us.
The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. I'll sing it through. If you don't know it, we'll sing it through a couple of times so you can get the hang of it.
The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads by still waters, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him.
Sing it with me.
The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads by still waters, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always.
Do it one more time.
The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads by still waters, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always.
I want, as we remember the 23rd Psalm, I would like us to remember it for what God is teaching in it. The 23rd Psalm is also considered the Shepherd's Psalm. The Lord is our shepherd. Now a shepherd leads, he loves, and he protects his sheep. Now I don't just have a human shepherd, but Jehovah is my shepherd. So I shall not want. The Creator of all things is my shepherd, so I shall not want. The owner of all things is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. The Alpha and the Omega is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. The one who will never die is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. The one who is the all-powerful one is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. The everywhere present one is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. The perfect and just one is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. The one who has never lost a battle is my shepherd. What's the result? I shall not want. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is also my shepherd, and I shall not want. You and I, as born again Christians, would be wise to let this great shepherd lead us. We have available to us the great shepherd, and that shepherd wants to lead us. We have the option, though, of rejecting the shepherd's leadership or accepting that shepherd's leadership. Why would we want to ignore or reject the great shepherd's ability to help us, especially when he says, listen, I'm the shepherd. If you'll follow me, the result will be you shall not want. Boy, that sounds good. I shall not want. You know what? I want for you that you don't have need. And I think you would want for me, and we should want for each other, that we're able to say, but I don't have need of anything. Now notice in this scripture, it says, the Lord is. The Lord is. Now that is present tense. It doesn't say that the Lord someday will be our shepherd. No, it says is. It does not say that the Lord used to be. It says is. It does not say that the Lord could be. No, if you and I want it, the Lord can be our shepherd right now. He is present tense. It says there, it also makes it a little more personal. It says is, meaning presently, right now, he's available, but it says the Lord is my. Now that means something to me. My, that's very personal. My shepherd. In John 10:27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hey, he is your personal shepherd right now. He is available right now to be your personal shepherd. As if you were the only sheep in his flock, he's available to that degree. I love it. Our shepherd will never leave us. Our shepherd will never forsake us. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The psalmist said, I have a shepherd, and because who that shepherd is, I shall not want. David is this psalmist, and he realized that with God as shepherd, that he would not want. He was not going to want in life. And the very same shepherd that is David's shepherd, that's my shepherd. The very same shepherd that is David's shepherd, that's your shepherd. Now, he tells us here in the Psalms what we will not want. That's the name of the sermon. The name of the sermon is what? What I shall not want. What is it that I'm not going to want? I'm going to tell you. And you see it right here in the 23rd Psalm. First of all, he says, I shall not want for my needs. I shall not want. For what? My needs. It says in Psalm 23:2, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see, for a sheep, a green pasture would meet their needs. If you were a sheep, you'd say a green pasture. That's exactly what I need. So I shall not want for my needs. God promises then to meet my needs. He's my shepherd. He's promising to meet my needs. Now, he said, I'll meet your needs. That doesn't mean he'll meet all your wants. Sometimes we want things that we don't need. God's not promising to give you everything that you want. He's promising that he will meet your need. That's what he's going to do. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have a shepherd, and I shall not want. And God here in 23rd Psalm tells me what I'm not going to want. What am I not going to want? I will not want for my need. The verse also here that we read, it says, not only do they lie down in green pastures, which would meet the need of a sheep, but it also says, it mentions the availability of still waters. What is that? Well, water's needful. A sheep would need the green pasture. The sheep would need that water. Hey, folks, don't lose faith in God's promise to meet your need. We watch, you watch the news, and the news is morbid, and the news is negative, and everything's bad, and everything's falling apart. Heaven's not falling apart. God's not falling apart. My God shall supply all your need. David said, I have a shepherd, and that shepherd is Jesus Christ, and I shall not want for my need. Hey, if he can meet the need of the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness for dozens of years, he can meet your need. And most of us have experienced that. Most of us have come to a moment of need, and we wondered, and maybe we wavered a little bit in our faith in God. But you know something? He met your need. He met your need. He may not have met your need the way you wanted it met, but God met your need. And I think everybody here could testify that you've been up against it, but God stepped in and God met your need. You see, I shall not want. What shall I not want? My need. But not only that, I shall not want for leadership. I, as a Christian, I don't have to want for leadership in my life. Psalm 23, verse number 2, it says, he leadeth me. Remember, this is all tucked in that very same passage of scripture that says, I shall not want. What shall I not want? I shall not want for my need. He's given me pastures and water. I shall not want for leadership. Why so? He leadeth me. The shepherd offers the sheep leadership. Now, we've got to accept that leadership, but it's always available. Folks, listen. Oh, be careful, be careful, be careful. When you run from God, you are also running from his leadership. If you run from his leadership, you are rejecting his provision. God said, I'll meet your need if you'll let me lead you. But if you step outside my realm of leadership, you may step outside of some of my provision. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 ran from his father. It was a picture of a child of God running from the heavenly father, if you will. You've heard the story. He, this prodigal son, goes to his dad. He said, Dad, I want you to give to me the portion of my inheritance that falleth to me. I want to get out of here. I don't want to live in your house. I don't want to live by your rules anymore, Dad. I want to hit the road. Give me some money. I'm going to leave. Dad gave the boy his inheritance. The boy went to a distant country, began to spend that inheritance. He wasted it in riotous living, and he was wasting his money, and an economic crunch came, and the kid couldn't find a job. He spent and wasted all of his substance. The only job he could get was feeding the swine, and they said, if there's any leftovers that you feed the pigs, you can eat it. The boy's sitting in the pig pen of life, and he's realizing back home, everything is good, but here I'm in a mess. But listen to the verse in Luke 15, verse 14. It says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now the Lord said, I shall not want. But wait a minute, when God says, I shall not want, you say, how do I get that? You better let him lead. If you let him lead, you will not want. But this boy, he would not let his father lead, which is your spiritual father, if you will. If you don't let him lead, you will find lack in your life. But it's not his fault, it's your fault. It's not the lack of his ability to provide. It is a lack of your desire to follow and stay under the canopy of his blessing and his desire to meet your need. This boy ran and he rejected the leadership of God and found that he had want in his life. His leadership is always available to you and I, but we need to accept that leadership. Hey, single parent, I've got good news for you. You single parents that must act as both mom and dad, you don't have to be in want of leadership. God will lead you. Those of you that are head up the ministries of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you don't have to be in want of leadership. You stay in God's will, and he will provide leadership for you. He said, he leadeth me. I shall not want. I shall not want what? Leadership. God provides leadership. Hey, business owner, you love the Lord. You want to glorify God with your business. Don't you worry in these difficult times here in America. You shall not want. God will provide leadership for your business. He said, I shall not want. Well, what shall I not want? I shall not want for my needs. I've got green pastures. I'm going to have the water that I need. I shall not want for leadership. He leadeth me. But not only that, I shall not want for peace in my life. It's something God promises here in the 23rd Psalm. I shall not want. It says, he in verse number 2, beside the still waters. You see, God said, I'm going to give you leadership, and there's going to be still waters in your life. You know, sheep are afraid of moving water. One of the reasons why, you take a big old sheep with all of its wool on it, you put that sheep in water, especially water with a heavy current. All that wool and the absorbing of the water and the heavy current, that could grab a hold of that sheep and rush that sheep downstream, and that sheep could drown to death. And God said, I realize what you carry and its heaviness. I'm going to provide for you still water. What is that? Peace. God can give us peace. I shall not want for peace. Hey, Christian, peace is available for you today. John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hey, God said, I can give you my peace. And notice something. God's not talking about giving you your own peace. God's talking about giving you his peace. You see, you say, what does that mean? Did you know in heaven, God did not wake up this morning? Well, he didn't wake up this morning at all. He's awake all the time. But God, the morning did not break upon the human race, and God did not find himself panicked about anything that's in the news. Nothing. God is a God of peace. And God said, we get to thinking, I want peace. And sometimes it's almost as if we want our own peace. I can do you one better than that. God can give you God's peace. He said, and the psalmist said, I shall not want. What is it that you won't want, David? He said, he's going to have me to lie down beside the still waters. God can provide peace for my life. Peace is available in the midst of the storm. Why? The shepherd is with me. What shepherd? The great God of the universe is my shepherd. He's going to give me my need. He's going to make sure that he's there to lead me. He is going to give me peace in the midst to the storm. We sing the song, the children I think sing it quite a bit. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Where's that song come from? The 23rd Psalm. I've got that peace. I shall not want. Why shall not want? We so glibly and so quickly run over those words in the 23rd Psalm. Hey, David said, I don't have want in my life. Want for what? I have my needs met. I have the leadership that God's provided. I have peace if I choose to use it. But not only that, he said, I shall not want for restoration. Restoration? Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. Now, folks, to restore something is to get it back into its new or original condition. He said, I'm not going to want for what? For restoration. I suppose I was about 17 years of age. I went out one Saturday and I was going to buy a car. My dad could not believe the car that I wanted to buy. I bought a 1952 Buick Special Super, big four-door. Boy, that thing had white walls on it. They were about 8 inches. Well, I mean, it was something. It had an engine. You've heard of a V8, and you've heard of a straight six and a slant six. This had an engine in it called a straight eight. All 8 cylinders right down the middle of that thing. It had the transmission. It was called a Dynaflow transmission. You say, what's that? That was big pickles back then, buddy. A Dynaflow transmission, 52 Buick Special, not just a 52 Buick Special, but a 52 Buick Special Super. Super had these neat little ports, look like machine gun barrels on the side of it. I got me a little Dobbs hat. I felt like a gangster riding that thing around. Big old boat. But I had to fix it up. I took that thing apart piece by piece. I cleaned every part, painted every part, put it all back together. When I got finished with it, it looked like new. It ran like new. I had restored it. I've got good news for you. Every one of us that are saved, we were in a mess, and Jesus Christ came along and restored our standing with God as if we were like crystal clear, brand new. When we got saved, he gave us a clean slate. But here the Bible says that God restores our souls. I shall not want. For what? For restoration. Restoration of what? Our souls. Your soul. Maybe the best way to explain that is your soul in this passage probably is the place that we would call the seat of your emotions. The seat of your emotions, where your emotions, the headquarters of your emotions, if you will. And God said, I can restore your emotions. This is something you and I, as Christians, have going for us that the world, they don't understand. Look, when somebody hurts the Christian, God, he is our shepherd. We shall not want. We don't have to go all the way through life, always emotionally beat up. But God comes along. He said, I will restore your soul. I can get into the mechanism that controls your emotions, and I can fix your emotions up like new. I will restore your emotions. I can get your feelings back to normal. When I'm emotionally wounded, he can restore my joy. Jesus restores my relationships. Jesus helps me to forgive. What does that do? It is a restoration of my emotions. He helps me to forgive. He helps me to forget. He restores my soul, the soul of me, the part of me that communicates with you and has relationship with you. Jesus heals my emotional wounds. Let me tell you, folks, the people out in the world, that's why they run to their liquor. They do not have a restorer of their souls. They're trying to heal or hide or run or mask the pain. I don't have to mask the pain. God takes it away. He heals my feelings. He heals my hurt. He heals my feelings. That's why marriages in the church last longer. Why? You have a restorer of your soul. You have a restorer of relationships. I shall not want. Why? He restoreth my soul. He restores my emotional stability. He restores my feelings, and he can take them back like new. It's a funny thing. Two people out in the world that don't know Jesus can get in a fuss and a fight, hate each other's guts for the rest of their life. Two born-again Christians can have a bump in the road in their relationship, get it right, and be best friends for the rest of their life. Why? There is a restoration of relationship through our great shepherd. I shall not want. And you say, well, preacher, I've got some relationships, and the other people are Christian, and they're not what they ought to be. Well, they could be. They could be. David said, I shall not want. What is it, David? What is it you shall not want for? Or for what shall you not want? He said, for my needs, for leadership in my life, for the peace. I've got the still waters. I've got the restoration of my relationships. Then he said, I shall not want for the right path to follow in life. Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Notice those paths. God will point you in the right direction. You and I as Christians, the 23rd Psalm, what a package deal. God comes along and said, the Lord, he's our shepherd. And because of that, folks, we're not going to have any wants. We're not going to, hey, God's going to take care of things. And one of the things God's going to do, he's going to give us the right path to follow. God will point you in the right direction. God will provide for you guidance so you can make good decisions. He tells me, he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. God will tell you the right way to go. I don't have to spend my entire life confused. Hey, Christian, if you're confused all the time, you're not on the right path somewhere along the way. We're all going to face a little confusion here and there, but let me explain something. You're to take that book, let that book make your decisions for you. Stop depending on your emotions for your decisions. Start depending on the Word of God for your decisions, and you're going to find less and less confusion in your life. And he said, I'm going to help you to get on the right path. path. I'll help you with your decision making. I don't want you to want in the area of being on the right path to follow. Look, I have a Bible. I shall not want. Why? The Bible helped me with my decision making. I have a pastor. I shall not want. Why? The pastor will teach me the Bible to help me with my decision making. I have preaching of the Word of God to do what? So I will not want. Want for what? Direction in my life. I have the Holy Spirit of God. I shall not want. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? It's going to lead me in the Word of God so I make right decisions. I shall not want. You don't have to want. Then he goes on. He says this, number six. I shall not want for understanding when things are difficult in my life. I shall not want for understanding when things are tough in my life, when they're going tough. Let me read this verse to you and you stick with me and hear me out and you'll understand it in a moment. Psalm 23:3, it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, key words here, for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Now, David said, I shall not want. What shall you not want? I'm not going to want for understanding when things are not going real well in my life. Hey, remember, we're talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death here. We're talking about a pretty tough situation in the 23rd Psalm. And David comes along and he says, I think God's going to give me a certain amount of understanding. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when tough times are upon us, we don't have to want. You know what happens to us when tough times come upon us? Our broken hearts, when life hits us, when something bad throws us into a tailspin, we often want to know a reason. And that's human. I understand that. We want to know, why is this happening to me? Why has this come upon me? We want to see the purpose. Well, let me show you something. David said, I shall not want. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I shall not want. And David actually says, let me tell you how I know I won't want, because at the end of verse 3 there, he said, for his name's sake. Let me explain something. Sometimes, folks, hardship comes upon us for his name's sake. I shall not want. You say, I cannot figure out why this burden has come upon me. I cannot figure out why my heart is broken. I cannot figure out why I carry such a heavy load. Sometimes, folks, we'll just have to accept this. Maybe it's for his name's sake. For, you say, preacher, what's happening? It makes no sense to me. Maybe it's for his namesake. Preacher, I logic through this thing, and my logic does not bring me to what I consider a reasonable end. Maybe it's not going to come to a reasonable end, or maybe the reasonable end is this: for his namesake. In John chapter 9, there's a story. It says in verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus meets a man that was blind from his birth. A disciple asks, whose sin caused this man to be blind? Is it the man's sin that caused him to be blind? Was it his own sin? Or maybe his parents did wrong, and that's why he was born blind. And Jesus' answer was neither. This man's not blind because of his sin. He's not blind because of his parents' sin. He's blind that the works of God may be manifest in him. What's that mean? For God's sake, this has happened. For God's purpose, this has happened. Did you know something? Daniel was in the lion's den. Why? For his name's sake. I believe Paul was shipwrecked. Why? For God's name's sake. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were probably thrown into that burning fiery furnace. You say, why? For his name's sake. Folks, you and I will have to understand something. We're a part of God's family. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But stop and understand something. He is God, and God may choose to do with our lives what he wants. And there are sometimes God does not give you or give me an explanation. He says, you're going to go through a tough time. Go through it for my name's sake. I shall not want. What are you saying, Brother Owens? Look, when you can't figure it out, you're all frustrated about it, and you're saying, I've just got to have a reason why I face this. Shake yourself and say, I found the purpose. It's for his name's sake, and that's good enough for me. Amen. Because nothing would happen to the sheep unless the shepherd allowed it to happen. So whatever you're facing, if you can't figure it out, just say, okay, this must be for his name's sake. If you ask me why Dr. Mike Bajan is facing cancer, if you asked me why one of the finest men that's ever walked the face of this earth is going through those terrible treatments that he's going through, the radiation, if you ask me about that, I can't figure it out. You say, preacher, that makes no sense to me. Me neither. Me neither. I can't figure it out. Say then, what's the answer? For his name's sake. Don't get mad at God. God knows what he's doing. For his name's sake. Hey, well, maybe God's trying to accomplish something in your life as a result of that. Somebody here, you need to get something right with God. Has the burden of that Mike Bajan carries, is that heavy on your heart? Is God speaking to your heart? Is God telling you to get more faithful to church? Is God telling you to get involved in the bus ministry? Is God telling you to get some things right with God? Let's not miss the purpose of what's happening. But I'm telling you, there are going to be times in your life as a Christian where you can't figure out where it came from, and you may just have to believe the Bible like David did. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. David said, he is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, David said, whatever comes upon me, if I can't figure it out, I'll just stop and say, well, I'll go through this for his name's sake. You won't want for a purpose in regard to the hardship that you go through. But not only that, he said in verse number 4, he said, for thou art with me. I shall not want for him. I shall not want for God. I shall not want for him. He should be all that I really want. Because I'll promise you this, he's all that we really need. Hebrews 13:5, it said, he would never leave us or forsake us. Hey, listen, folks, sometimes what we go through in life, God is hoping that through it, you'll want him. You'll want him. He never abandons us. He deserves that we never abandon him. Let me promise you something, though. When everyone else leaves you, he won't. He'll be there when you can't even see him there. See, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. When you look around and you wonder if anybody understands or anybody cares, if you can't find another human being alive that you believe cares, I'll promise you God still cares and God still loves you. He said in verse 4, for thou art with me. David said, I've been in a few situations where it seemed like nobody cared, but David said, but I know you're with me. I shall not want because I have a God that will stick with me. That's what David said. I shall not want. I have God with me. You'll always have someone to talk to. You'll always have someone to lean upon. Hey, lonely one, he is with you. I hope that you can come to the point in life where you want him more than you want what you can get out of him. Get yourself to the point, Christian, to where you want him more than what you can get out of him. But David said, I shall not want. For what? For him. For thou art with me, said David. But not only that, David said, I shall not want for protection. I shall not want for protection. It says in Psalm 23, verse 4, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and the staff were used by the shepherd, possibly as a weapon for protection when needed. A wolf could be fought off with that staff or that rod. A snake could be pinned to the ground or tossed to the side using that rod or that staff. And folks, here David said, I shall not want. What shall you not want, David? I shall not want for protection. Why? God's rod, God's staff, they're there to protect me. When evil comes at me, God has a staff. God has a rod. And he can push that evil aside. Folks, God fights for us. God fights for us in this evil world. Whether you realize it or not, God has protected you this week. God protected you this week. God, hey, I love this. Did you know God protects our salvation for us? Once you get saved, you're always saved. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can steal it. It's saved. Every time the devil comes around and tries to talk God out of your salvation, God takes that shepherd's rod, grabs the old devil by the throat, and gives him a whirl. Says, get out of here, squirrel. Get out of here. They're saved. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. He's protecting you. David said, I shall not want. Why so, David? Because my shepherd has a rod and a staff, and I am comforted to know that I have him as my protector. But not only that, I shall not want even when I have enemies. 23rd Psalm, verse number 5, it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Huh? David said, I shall not want. I have a shepherd. My shepherd is washing out for me. I am not going to want in life. What are you not going to want, David? Well, I'm not going to want even when I have enemies in my life. The devil's our enemy, folks. He's our great enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God is our protector. God said, I'll be there when your enemies are up against you. Even our human enemies, folks, listen, the devil is no match for God. Our human enemies are no match for God. And that's why our God actually told us, he said, hey, you leave vengeance to me, I'll take care of that. That's pretty comforting. It's pretty comforting that in Romans 12:19, God said, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You say, Brother Owens, I've got an enemy. Now, let me warn you about something. You get an enemy and you get your sight set on hatred and malice and revenge and getting even with people, you're going to mess up your spirit. God said, don't you mess up your spirit. You leave your enemy to me. If there is some vengeance that needs taken care of, you let me take care of that. You go ahead and live a peaceful, decent, godly life. I'll take care of the vengeance. What is God doing? God said, you shall not want. Even if you have enemies, I'll back you up and I'll take care of that for you. Yes. Hey, you shall not want, David, as you face your enemy, Goliath. That's right. You shall not want, Daniel, as you face your enemy, those hungry lions. You shall not want, Elijah, as you face that enemy, Jezebel. You see, in the 23rd Psalm, verse 5, he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What's this all about? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then what does he do? The following 4 or 5 verses, he describes to us everything that we will not have need of. Those things that we won't want. What are we not going to want? We're not going to want for our needs. We're not going to want for leadership. We're not going to want for peace. We're not going to want for restoration, the rebuilding of our emotions. We're not going to want for a right path. We're not going to want for a purpose in difficult times. We're not going to want for him. He'll always be there. We're not going to want for protection, because he will comfort us and we'll have the protection of his rod and his staff. Hey, even when we have enemies, David said, I shall not want. I like this next one. I wish I had about 3 hours, because when I really tore into the 23rd Psalm and what he promised us, it is so packed full. These verses are amazing. Listen to this. I shall not want for the Holy Spirit of God. Psalm 23, verse 5, about midway through the verse, it says, thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. Oil in the Bible was a symbol and is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. When you and I get saved, the Holy Spirit moves within us. The Bible says in Joel 2, verse 28 and 29, shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit. Hear that? Pour out. Pour out my spirit, like the pouring out of oil. He says, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. The Holy Spirit is poured out on young men and old men and young women and old women and single men and single women and married men and married women. God said, I'm going to pour it out. What is that pouring? It's the pouring of the oil. That's why it says, thou anointest my head with oil. David knew that he could have the anointing of God and he would not want for the Spirit of God, because that Spirit was available. In the wilderness, And this day, of course, the sheep would be taken to pasture, and when they would get out there, it was wild. There were snakes everywhere. And many shepherds would take an oil and pour it over the head of the sheep. And the oil had a bit of a disgusting smell to it. And when the sheep would lower its head to eat the grass, if there were a snake there, the snake would say, "I'm not going to bite that. It smells bad." But that oil was precious. That oil to the snake, you know, a snake smells with its tongue. And that snake would, its old tongue would come out and pick up a whiff of that oil, and the snake would say, "I'm not biting that." Let me tell you something, folks. You and I have been anointed with the oil of the Spirit of God. And while we're going through life and we reach down into the grass of life and the old devil's right there getting ready to bite us, the old devil looks at you and he takes a big old whiff, and you, he's not afraid of, but the power of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, "Oh my, I don't get to poison that person like I could have." What is it? The Holy Spirit of God's available to you. Those of you that walk in the Spirit, you're going to be more protected from the evil and the snake bite of Satan. His Spirit is available for your leading. Always the Spirit of God agrees with the Word of God. I believe today in this sermon, somebody today is having a special need met from this sermon. And that's the Holy Spirit of God taking care of that. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." What do you mean by that? Then he goes into telling us all the things that we will not want for. What are they? He said, "The Holy Spirit, thou anointest my head with oil." But not only that, "Thou shalt not want," but you actually have an abundance of everything that he offers in the 23rd Psalm. In Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, "My cup runneth over." You know what David's saying? I don't get just a little bit of all this. I get a lot of bit of it. David was saying, "Hey, don't think you just get a little dose. I am going to fill your cup till it's running over." You say, "Preacher, I've experienced a little bit of that." Well, you could be experiencing all of it that you want, because he said, "Your cup runneth over." With what? With all the blessings that he promised in this "I shall not want" chapter of the Bible. We have more than we need. We have an abundance of these things which God has promised. "I shall not want for my needs being met." And folks, here in America, we have an abundance of our needs met. "I shall not want for leadership, but I have an abundance of it. I shall not want for peace, but my cup runneth over with peace. I shall not want for the restoration of my emotions, but my cup runneth over with that restoration. Direction, my cup runneth over. Understanding of difficult times, my cup runneth over. His presence, my cup runneth over. His protection, my cup runneth over. Help with my enemies, my cup runneth over. His Holy Spirit, my cup runneth over. The Bible actually says in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He's saying, "I won't give you just a little bit of what I offer in the 23rd Psalm. You shall not want or want or want or want, because I will fill you up to overflowing." Hey, Christian, start living the abundant life. It is not that God has not offered it. You're not taking advantage of what he promised you. He goes on, he says, "Thou shalt not want for goodness." Goodness. He said in verse number 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." The verse started out, he said, "The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want." Let me tell you all the things I shall not want and why I shall not want them. He comes down to the last verse in the chapter, and David mentions, "Surely goodness." I've got goodness. Hey, folks, God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. The teenagers, again, they sing that song, "God is so good. God is so good. God is so good to me." Folks, the worst times in America are better than the best times in most other countries. You say, in America, 10% of the economy and unemployment, it's wasted, it's trashed, it's gone. The rest of the world would like to live off the 10% we lost. Hey, be time for some of us to be thinking about our cup runneth over with the goodness of God. But David said, I shall not want. I shall not want for goodness. God's been good to me. And folks, God's been good to you. I shall not want. He goes on. He says in verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. What is this? So I shall not want for his mercy. I shall not want. There's plenty of mercy available. Thank God for his mercy. I think there are a lot of ways of describing mercy, and let me give you one of them. I think mercy is when God withholds what you deserve. God, hey, you deserve hell. God showed you mercy, and you got abundance of it. Hey, you deserve death, but you didn't get it. That's mercy. You deserve punishment. Maybe you didn't get it. That's mercy. You deserve loss. Maybe you didn't get it. That's mercy. The Bible says his mercy follows me. I love this. I love this. What that means in modern day vernacular is God said, Jeff Owens, I got your back. I got your back. Those that are creeping up behind you and you don't even see them coming, I see them coming. Plow ahead. Go forward. Go forward and work hard. You know, if you're a runner, any runner that's constantly looking back is not getting where they need to go. God said, you go forward. You work hard. You move forward. You say, but what's coming up behind me? God said, surely mercy shall follow you. He said, I've got your back. I'll take what's back there and I'll handle that for you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great? God's got my back. David, and I could see why that would mean something to David. David had people following him, chasing after him. Hey, surely goodness and mercy. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, what do you mean? What will you not want? And he starts the list. He starts that list. And then, I like this, in verse number 6, and we're getting close to the end of the sermon here. In verse number 6, he says, well, how long is this going to last? He said, all the days of my life. I shall not want for consistent, predictable watch care by my shepherd. My shepherd is at his post. He said, all the days of my life, his care is predictable. If you're a child, all the children, look up here at Brother Owens, all the children, let me tell you something. God's going to watch out for you, children. But wonder, you say, but preacher, now I'm a teenager. Don't worry, teenager. He promises you he'll watch out for you all the days of your life. We're a young married couple, preacher, and we're facing the experience of paying the bills and having babies. And oh my, hey, don't worry, young couple. He said all the days of your life. You say we're middle-aged. That promise is for you. Say, preacher, I'm in my senior years. Can't get along like I once could. This promise is for you. He said, all the days of my life. He's not just a shepherd to the little lamb. He is a shepherd to the mature sheep. He's a shepherd to the older sheep. He's a shepherd to the single sheep and to the married sheep. He's the shepherd. He said, all the days of my life, I've got this assurance that my great shepherd is going to help me and I shall not want. That means 7 days a week, 365 days a year, God takes no vacation from his post as your shepherd. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. The great shepherd to watch out for us. It matters not what is happening that will be recorded in history. He will go down in history as a great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. If you're not saved today, I've got some good news for you. In verse number 6, he says, David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you know that if you're not saved, you can get saved today. The shepherd will save you. And then you will know that you have a house in heaven. You can know that you can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, what security? This great shepherd. I read the 23rd Psalm, I'm sure, hundreds of times. Hundreds. And I read over those words, I shall not want. And I did it pretty quickly and pretty glibly. I didn't realize that The following 4 or 5 verses describes exactly what David seen as a promise from God when God said, I am your shepherd, you shall not want. Now let me tell you what you're not going to have want or need of. And he lists it. What? What shall I not want? God has told us. Again, may I come to those of you that have never trusted Christ as Savior. You ought to get saved today. And you can know that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven when I die. If that's you, we're going to have an altar call in a minute. Maybe you need to come. You need to walk up to someone and say, I need to be born again. The men that are sitting on the platform will step off the platform. They'll post themselves down front in this auditorium. Right at the end of each aisle, you walk up to them and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I think there are Christians in this house today that needed to be reminded of this, oh, famous and enriching chapter in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. You need to see that God has promised you will not want. To some, many of those points are precious to you today. Maybe some, there's a point or two that is just prominently important to you this morning. But you need to claim the promises of the 23rd Psalm. Who here would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart. God had something in that, especially for me today. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. God had something in there, precious to my soul. You may put your hand down. In a moment, we'll have an altar call. Maybe you need to leave your seat and come to this altar and thank God that you shall not want. And remind him that you see it and you're claiming that promise. If you're here, you've been saved but never made it public. Why don't you come and let the people know that you've been saved. Maybe you need to be baptized. Come present yourself for baptism. If you have been saved and you have been baptized by immersion after your salvation, maybe you need to join the church. Maybe you need to come. Hey, maybe you're like the prodigal son. Maybe you've gotten away from God. Somebody needs to return, rededicate your life to Christ this morning. If that's you, you come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you come. Present yourself for baptism. Maybe you just need a moment of prayer. Maybe you need to be reminded of the truths that are tucked away in the 23rd Psalm. He said that he will restore your soul. Who here needs healing for your emotions, healing for a relationship? You come to God, he'll do that. He said he'll help you to restore those feelings, those emotions. He can help you with that. Somebody here needs to be reminded that he said, I give you my peace. My peace I give unto you. Just claim it. Take advantage of it. Let him lead you. You say, I'm confused. Let the Bible lead you. God said, I'm going to lead you. I'll help you. You say, I'm just having a hard time understanding why I'm going through what I'm going through. Well, if you can't figure it out, why don't you by faith say, it must be for his name's sake. And behave in such a way that he can be glorified as you go through it. Maybe you're going through a difficult time just because he wants you to need him. He said, thou art with me. Thank God for his protection, his mercy, his goodness. Thank God he's got your back. He's got your back. And we have these things in abundance. My cup runneth over. David said, I have been given so much of all of these. I've got some and to spare. My cup runneth over. Be in want of goodness, it's there and in abundance. Mercy, it's there and in abundance. Consistent, predictable care by our God. He said, all the days of my life, from the time we're born to the time that we close our eyes in death and open them in glory. Ushers, be ready with faith promise cards. As you know, we're going to distribute those to those that need them yet. This will be the last time through the song this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. If I call your name.